Hello and welcome to the Birmingham Unsigned podcast, dedicated to bringing you the best unsigned music from the Birmingham area of the UK. In this podcast, we interview local bands and artists to find out more about them and get a little taste of their music. Birmingham Unsigned is run on a voluntary basis, and all of our content is completely, absolutely free. But it does cost money to have things like a website going and to help promotion. And if you wanted to support us, there are a couple of ways you can do that. I'll mention those ways at the end of the podcast. Welcome to the Birmingham Unsigned podcast, and we are delighted to have with us today Joe, who goes by the name of Lives Bandana. How are you doing, Joe?
Hi, yeah, good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. So we've got one of your songs already on the Birmingham Unsigned Spotify playlist, which is absolutely amazing. November, I think, went on just to, not in November, it's March, but the name of the song is November, if anyone's confused already. A wonderful song, and I think people are liking it already. I'm going to go through some of the really boring questions first. So it's because it's Birmingham Unsigned. I'd love to know, whereabouts are you? Where in Birmingham are you?
I'm in Selly Oak at the moment.
And are you from Birmingham originally?
No, so I was born in Peterborough, but I've grew up in Norwich. I moved to Birmingham for university a couple of years ago. So I sort of fluctuate in between Birmingham and Norwich now. Although now that like university has progressed a lot more, I'm spending most of my time in Birmingham, really.
Right, and you're one of these poor university students who's getting a little bit mucked about over COVID at the moment, because it's, we're hopefully coming out of lockdown at some point. But yeah, I guess times have been tough.
Yeah, it's. I mean, for my course, it's not been too badly affected. It's just, you know, online seminars, online lectures, that kind of thing, which isn't fantastic, but it's okay. Other people have had it quite a lot worse, so I'm just trying to focus on that, really.
It's a good way of looking at it. Yes,
it's difficult sometimes, but
yeah,
I just remind myself.
And what are you currently working on or promoting? Before we get too deep into the interview, let's just make sure everyone knows what we're what we're promoting to start off with.
So my music, my project is called Lives Bandana. It's like some bedroom pop music, I guess, that I've been making in the last sort of term or so. So last few months.
And so not too long then. It's been quite a recent thing for you.
It's a really recent thing. Yeah, I used the first lockdown, which was almost a year ago now. No, it was a year ago, actually, wasn't it? So I bought like a home studio kind of setup with, you know, like a DAW and basic recording equipment, and messed around with it for a while, trying to work out how the hell you use it and all that sort of thing. And then I started, I was listening to a lot of like 80s pop. And I think with the setup I had, the kind of sequencing and instrumentation was a lot, it kind of lent itself to that quite nicely with your electronic drums and your synths and your electric bass, all that kind of thing. And gradually, but I don't really listen to much 80s pop anyway, so I sort of had to like work out how to segue the music I actually do listen to and the music I am actually like listening to a lot sort of into that. So that's how you get this sort of weird crossover of like several different genres in one track. And then I thought we'll bring it all under one, I guess, alias, but not really. I kind of think of Lives Bandana as just like the bedroom pop project in my life. And yeah, then I worked out I should probably start releasing. So I'm trying to do that.
So if Lives Bandana is the bedroom pop project, does that mean that there's other musical projects going on as well?
In theory. I mean, okay. I've done like a bit of session work before where I haven't been like... Lives Bandana is an incredibly new thing. So all the session work I've done before has just been like Joe Webb playing trumpet for X person. I used to be in a couple of bands back home as well, so that's all just been me. I like the idea that this will kind of remain my Belgian pop project for now, and then we'll see how it grows. And depending on what other, like, you know, if I want to go into like live music and because I play trumpet and I play like piano as well, so if I want to go into like live, more live stuff, I don't want to feel like pinned down by one project. But equally, it might just all end up coming under this at some point. I don't want to commit myself too soon because it's very early days. Does that make sense?
I think that's sensible. I think that is sensible. It absolutely makes sense. So you've been musically inclined, it sounds like, for quite a while. Your university, is it a music related degree or is it something completely different?
Degree is completely different, actually. I thought, yeah, I've never been huge on like studying music, although that might just have been like an excuse for me to not commit to it at university. I think I don't know. I think I was very easily like swayed by the whole you know, study the prestigious academic things line in school. I think because I did quite well in school, and so that was where teachers tried to like shove me. And I think, I mean, obviously that's on me for buying into it as well. So music, I sort of stopped really like academically studying, I guess, a while ago.
Obviously, you know, depending on how you look at it, they're kind of right as well. Music doesn't always bring in the money for the vast percentage of people that do it. But, you know, it's a great source of joy for most of us. And
oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I try and I like having the degree being different because it means that I have to commit like different skills and different interests and subjects and whatnot to my degree. Allows the music to be like an extra kind of creative thing on the side. But I've only very recently worked out how to do like music as a thing on the side, or even as a thing on the side, as like a whole extra thing that's separate to my degree. I think I stopped playing music and I stopped writing and stuff for quite a while, like throughout sixth form. I think I sort of just abandoned it because it wasn't one of my subjects. And I was in a band that like we sort of stopped playing because they all went to university and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I sort of just dropped music completely. And it's only like in the last year or so I've managed to find like a balance, I guess, between study interests and music interests. But music's the thing that really like excites me. Like the degree feels very much the backup if music goes wrong.
yes.
That's how I kind of approach it.
Oh, sounds like a good way of approaching it to me. I think now we're a few minutes in, it might be a good time to actually introduce people to one of your songs. I'll play a little snippet. You've sent me some songs over, and of course one people will have probably heard already on the Birmingham Unsigned Spotify list, and we've got a few that they may not have heard yet. Which one would you like me to play first? Do you have a preference?
I think it would make sense to start with November, being that it's the one that's already out. It feels like the most sort of introductory to my current sound.
That makes sense. Let's have a little snippet from November. Was a little section from November, and yeah, you've got that 80s vibe absolutely down. I'm surprised that you've not been producing music for longer, actually. Have you been sort of around studios and around other people producing?
It's very kind of you to say, thanks. I've not really. I've been in the studio, like on the recording side of things, when I've done session projects.
I haven't
done the mixing before, or the setting up my own recording or anything like that. I've only ever just sort of walked in and played.
Well, nicely done. I think for a first attempt, you've absolutely nailed it. And I've heard people who've been recording for years that haven't managed to sort of get a sound that's quite as interesting as that, and that sort of fits nicely into a genre and is catchy and good. So, yeah, wow. Well done.
Thank you. That's lovely feedback.
And you've been doing this all yourself, so it's a bedroom project. Does anybody else have any other say on what happens musically here, or is it literally it's just you, every part of it just you?
I mean creatively it's me. In terms of, I guess, the songwriting process, they tend to just sort of fall into my head. It's not, I don't really do the sort of right, I'll sit down and do some music now. And some of those songs have been with me for quite some time before I started producing as well. There's one that we'll probably play at some point that I've had the chords and the bass in my head for at least a couple of years before I actually started producing. I have a couple of friends play different instruments for me on it. So there's a guitar part in some other music I make that's played by a friend. There are a couple of horns that I draft my friends in for, but 99% of it's me, really. Yeah,
on the whole, it's pretty much you. And do you think at some point you might take it live, take it on the road?
I'd love to. Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day, actually. I don't know how. I mean, so much of the sound is like different, like synths being triggered and pre-programmed and all that sort of thing. So I don't know what to do about that, but I'd really love to. Yeah, I miss gigging quite a lot, actually, and it would be really interesting playing my own things live. I'd love to be able to do like a kind of interesting show and give people a good time, you know.
It's interesting taking a sort of pop project like this, a sort of bedroom project, and converting it into something that can work live. And it's got its own challenges, but I think you'd find it quite a rewarding experience if you're looking into that sort of thing. Since we've got a few tracks here, let's play a little bit of one of the other ones. Is there anything that you think would be a good follow up for us from November?
I think it probably makes sense. The second track that I've sent you is called The Ballad of Beckenham Hill. That's from the upcoming EP. That would make sense to play here.
Beautiful. I'll play a little section from The Ballad of Beckenham Hill. Lovely. So that was a little section from The Ballad of Beckenham Hill. That's an interesting title. Has it got some meaning behind it?
Yeah, there's a whole, this is the only song I've written that I kind of came up with the title first. We basically, me and a friend were at the Extinction Rebellion protest over summer, and we were meant to be staying at, it all sounds a bit ridiculous, but there is like, you know, layers and whatnot. So we were meant to be staying at this accommodation that this other like XR person was going to be hosting us. And it turned out to be a fake address, and someone had pranked us. And we were sort of homeless in London for the night. It was really bizarre. It was like our first time at XR as well. So we were like geared up for the protest and going to try and do our best, and were made homeless in the very first night. And Beckenham Hill train station was the nearest stop to this fake address. And we were sat there waiting for the train back into Central. And my friend looked at me and said, you should write a song about this. So I thought, okay, we'll write a song about it. But it's turned into sort of an allegory, I guess. I don't want to, you know, use the too big word. But yeah, it's allegorical in the sense of I'd recently been in a breakup at the time, and was feeling, I don't know, I kind of put the two feelings together about this is just an absurd, like physically homeless and lost situation with the kind of, I don't know, socially homeless, socially feeling kind of lost and confused at that time. And so it sort of turned into a story about that as well. So it sort of, I started writing the lyrics when I hadn't come up with that. So they're very like explicitly about this sort of ridiculous situation where the address doesn't exist. And it's in fact this old corner shop in Bromley where you can't stay and there's no lights on and all that sort of thing. And then it becomes more and more about actually just, I'm feeling incredibly lost at the moment. I'm feeling very, you know, when you're in a relationship, your entire framework of viewing the world is everything's filtered through me and my partner. Every single thing you do and every like achievement you have and everything you, or at least for me, someone that's quite anxious and has found it very difficult to give myself credit for things before. I filtered things through this sort of relationship lens, and suddenly that lens is taken away from me completely. And it's like, well, what do we do now?
Yeah, I feel now? Just
completely lost. So it sort of turned into a story about that, I guess.
I can see how the two stories come together. It makes sense.
It does, but I feel like the thing that I really like about it is that it's so sort of just resigned. The track's incredibly just like, well, we are stuck now. What do we do about it? It's a very like absurdist situation.
And you mentioned that this was on your upcoming EP. Do you want to talk about the EP a little bit? Is it something are we allowed to talk about it before its release?
At this point we are, yeah. So there's an EP coming out that I've made. It's called Train Music. It's got November, the Ballad of Beckham Hill, and two other tracks. I guess it explores things like identity, relationships, ego and anxiety and mental health. It's generally just incredibly confused and trying to make sense of my life at the moment. And I was finding like a lot of solace in coming upstairs after having a day of feeling depressed and anxious and burying my head in music. So it's got this sort of nostalgic 80s sound that's obviously like not as bombastic as the 80s, but I really love that contrast between like silly, joyful, sparkly synths and really like frank, actually things aren't great sort of lyrics. It's quite exciting having a proper project coming out.
If you don't have that sort of contrast, it can end up just all being a little bit too saccharine and sickly sweet and joyful, or you go in the other direction, it can be just a little bit down, depressing, and finding a balance is a good thing.
I think it's definitely like, I know I'm happy to release it now because I feel like I'm happy to move on from that part of my life, if that makes sense. I feel like Train Music as an EP really neatly captures that state of my life, that kind of 2 or 3 months after a breakup, 2 or 3 months of not really knowing what I'm doing, and having to like reassess like a lot of my, just a lot of my like perspective on things. It's like the very beginning of seeing light at the end of the tunnel, but I'm really not there yet at all. So there's a lot of just indulgence in negativity and indulgence which all has to happen. I mean, everyone's had a breakup. Everyone knows how it works. And the kind of recognition that everyone else has had it and everyone else has had these feelings before, and yet I still feel like I'm the only one it's ever happened to. That's one of the feelings I want to kind of convey in this. Like I know how ridiculous this is. I know that I'm just moaning half the time, and I know that it will get better because it does for everyone.
Yes, yes. When's the release date for the EP?
The EP is out on the 16th of April. Sorry, I should have mentioned that already.
No, that's all right. 16th of April. We're recording at the end of March, so we've got we will see when this gets released. It might be out already. Check your
exciting
check your Spotify, yeah, check your check your feed, see what's going on. Speaking of checking feeds, are you active in terms of promotion? Are you on social media and things like that?
I am, and it's horrendous.
Yes, isn't it?
I'm very anxious about social media. I think it's just a breeding insecurities in everybody, and it's just a breeding ground. That's what I tried to say. And it just brings out the worst in people. And I took a lot of time off it in high school and sixth form because it wasn't making me very happy. Mm-hmm. And so returning to it has been a challenge, I would say. It's like returning to the scene of the crime.
Yes.
The thing that's been difficult is divorcing, like, posting as me from posting as the musical project Liv's Bandana. I feel like, because everything I used to do when I used social media would be so intrinsically caught up in my own identity. And it's like, if people don't engage in this post, they don't like me. And if they don't engage
in
all this kind of thing, it reflects badly on me. So that's been like the biggest challenge, I'd say. But every post makes it easier. So I'm getting more used to it.
Yeah. Let's have a listen to another song. So we've had The Ballad of Beckenham Hill. We've had November. Which one should we move on to next, do you think?
Let's go for Sisyphean Dreams because it's a bit more upbeat and we just had quite a slow one.
Fantastic. Let's listen to a little section from Sisyphean Dreams. Was a little section from Sisyphean Dreams. Now that is sort of calling up something in the back of my mind. Sisyphus, come on, enlighten me. I'm sure I've known it at some point in my life.
I'm so glad that actually reminds you of something. I was a bit worried that this track, everyone's just going to go not quite know how to say it.
What does that mean?
Yeah, exactly. It felt like a bit of a gamble. No, so the title is inspired by a book by Albert Camus called The Myth of Sisyphus. It's about, like, it's an existential look at the human condition. Sisyphus was this figure in Greek mythology who was condemned by the gods to roll a boulder up a hill every day for the rest of his life.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, and then every time it'd get to the top, it would fall back down. And Camus' take is that you have to... That's the human condition, right? We're forever trying to find meaning in a meaningless world. But we have to imagine Sisyphus is happy. We have to find our own meaning in it. And I really like that idea. I was just reading it over summer and I was making this song, and it's a lot of just meandering lines about existentialism and finding meaning in things and how, I don't know, it's sort of attempt to be like a kind of preachy political song. That's where it was going. And then I sort of catch myself and sort of go, well, you know, come on. We've got to try and sort things out. But I don't know, do it loosely, I guess. I don't want to take myself too seriously because ultimately this is all you know, just a dance around a beginning and an end, isn't it?
That's it. I mean, it's not a topic that gets hit upon in pop music very regularly. But I like it. I like that fact. And like as I was saying before, I think the contrast works really well. And a lot of pop is far too sweet for me. If you see, to use a food analogy, I'd always like something that's got a little bit of thought and perhaps a bit of bitterness sort of mixed in there as well to taste.
Sure.
So a lot of the things that we're listening to here, they've got this real amazing 80s feel to them. But you mentioned earlier that you don't really listen to a lot of 80s music. What sort of artists do you listen to? What music do you like? What inspires you?
I think, I should probably qualify that. It's not that I don't listen to much. It's just the 80s that I do like. I have on repeat all the time. I listen to loads of Prince, loads of Janet Jackson, loads of Michael Jackson. Well, not so much anymore. I'm really big on the sound. I wouldn't say my knowledge is incredibly like extensive or anything. Day to day, I listen to a lot of UK jazz. I'm really big on people like Oscar Jerome, Ezra Collective, that kind of bunch. So a lot of the influence, like, in terms of chords and melody, is sort of derived from that sort of area. Really big on like psychedelia and like electronic psychedelic bands and like the new kind of MGMT, Mild High Club kind of group. The neo psychedelia,
yeah,
I think is how people tend to refer to that.
Neo psychedelia. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I think it is. Anyway, I listen to all sorts. I'm very reluctant to give the kind of my taste is eclectic answer because that seems to be what everyone says, but
often it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the time people, when they say their tastes are collective, you know, they listen to rock and pop, you know, they can employ everything. And it's interesting having, you know, someone that at least listens to a bit of jazz or something that, people who say they've got an eclectic music taste don't always get into things like jazz and classical and world music and some of the different genres. So it's it's good to take influence from some of that other stuff. Have you got any tips for any of our other artists out there who might be looking to do a sort of pop project like you're doing, a bedroom project, and get it released out there? Do you feel like there's anything that you've learned in the last few months that could be a useful shortcut for anyone that's just getting into this sort of thing?
Interesting question. I wouldn't say I'm an authority on this, but there's things I've learned for sure. The first is don't take yourself too seriously. Because that won't work. But equally, commit time to it. I think having been someone that was, you know, like a performing musician for a while, and like I wrote songs to myself, and I never really knew what production really was. I never really knew what the role of the producer was. So I'd sort of put these songs that kind of fell into my head and I sort of put them down onto Logic or Ableton or whatever. And just expect it to sound really good because it sounded really good in my head. And like as a composition, it worked really nicely. But as a track, it sounded crap. And
yes,
you know, just the sound, like it just sounds all computery and rubbish. So the thing I really had to do, like the main musical challenge, was like learning, going through the hard graft of like technical production skills. And there's loads I'm still learning.
What's a compressor?
Like,
it's all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, really basic things that once you, like I've had a few friends before, like talking about, you know, compression and EQing, you know, gated reverbs, like all this kind of quite basic production stuff that now I know is quite basic, but at the time I was just thinking like, this is just a completely different language. I don't know what they're talking about. Put the time in and commit to it without taking yourself as a person too seriously, which feels like a juxtaposition or a contradiction, but that's how I'm trying to view things at the moment.
That sounds like almost a mindfulness exercise. Don't take yourself seriously, but work hard on it and put time into it.
Yeah, just remember that, you know, however much music you've done before, no one else knows any of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I was quite like a... I was about to say I was a unique case, but that sounds like I'm taking myself too seriously as well. I had a strange situation where I was like growing up, like recognized among like the school and school friends as someone that did music and someone that was quite good at it. So I kind of had this strange complacency thing where I thought, well, I'm quite good at this and everyone's told me I am, so it'll just happen.
Mm-hmm.
Taking myself very seriously as the kind of natural talent person. And I regret that to an extent, but also I feel like I had to have that to learn that I needed to try hard.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say I regret it, but I learned quite quickly when I came to uni and suddenly no one knew that I even did music and I hadn't done any in quite a while at that point, that committing myself to it really honestly and if people say that like I'm talented, that compliment tends to mean quite a lot less to me than it does if someone says you've tried really hard at this.
Yeah.
You've put in a lot of work. You should be really happy at the amount you've committed to this. That tends to mean a lot more to me. And I think that's because that's actually quite a lot harder as a skill. Or at least it was for me.
No, you're right.
It is for me.
Now you've mentioned that you took a bit of a break from music. Was there anything in particular that brought you back to it?
Yeah, my housemate last year had a similar setup to the one I do. And I sort of had a go on it just like as a bit of fun, like mucking around. It had been like a couple of years since I'd really seriously done music. I'd done like a couple of session things, but that was about it. And I just remembered why I love it so much. I had a sort of crisis actually where I started just completely like reconsidering my life. I was like, really? Why am I doing a degree in philosophy and politics? It doesn't get me going in the same way music does. And so at that point I just thought, well, you've got to just commit to this again, don't you? Because you know it makes you really happy. You know that this is where your creativity needs to go. So it was probably that experience, which was about a year ago, maybe slightly further away than that.
And having spoken about the lyrics that you've got, I think a degree in philosophy and politics sounds like it can actually be inspiring as part of the music rather than just a completely separate thing. There's no reason why they can't be intertwined in some way.
I think that's true. Although I wouldn't say that like academia informs it necessarily. I think I'm just switched on in those areas because like I have an interest in them. So if I'm writing, I don't know, like reflecting on my emotions or something in a song, I'll probably, I don't know, dive into those a bit more just because I'm a bit more naturally inclined to be like, well, why am I feeling like this and all that sort of thing.
So I think this is probably a good time for us to make sure everyone knows the best way to get your stuff and the best way to find you. You've said that although you're not liking it a huge amount, you're out there on the socials.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know off the top of your head what all of your social handles are if people are looking for you?
Yeah, they're all just at Livs Bandana. No one else has taken it before. and the anxiety will be quelled by people following me, so...
Oh, well, there you go. If you want to quell Joe's anxiety, then go and search Livs Bandana on your social of choice, or all the socials if you're on all of them, like some of us poor people end up having to be on all of them. Do you have anything like a website, mailing list, or are you doing any of that stuff yet?
I haven't as of yet. The thought of starting a website crossed my mind this morning, actually, but I don't have time at the moment.
Yeah.
All my updates are on socials.
Perfect. Well, I think we'll say goodbye at this point, and I think everyone can look forward to some more stuff from you, hopefully in the future. Liv's Bandana moving forwards along with whatever projects you you come up with. But it's been a real pleasure talking to you today. And yeah, keep us up to date. Anything else that's being released, I'll have to make sure it all goes on the Birmingham Unsigned Spotify list for everyone to listen to.
For sure. Thanks very much for having me.
No, a pleasure.
I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that there are some ways that you can support Birmingham Unsigned. Firstly, you could donate money through PayPal by going to our paypal.me link. The link is paypal.me/BrumUnsigned. If you did want to make a more regular donation, we would be very, very grateful. You can do that through our Patreon page. You can access that from patreon.com/BirminghamUnsigned. If you or any band or artist that you know would like to be interviewed on the Birmingham Unsigned podcast, then drop us an email. It's brumunsigned@gmail.com and we'll get something sorted. I hope you've enjoyed today's podcast. I look forward to having you here again for the next one. Stay awesome.